Metallica, headlining the Welcome to Rockville Music Festival. Two different nights, two different sets. Go to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com for all information. Get your tickets on sale right now.
We are back.
All right. Who did what? What's so funny?
Oh, man. It's just some stuff that comes out along the wire that you just got to laugh. I just saw him at the East-West Shrine game. Agent Drew Rosenhaus conditionally terminated his relationship with Antonio Brown on Thursday until the free agent wide receiver seeks counsel, an NFLPA source told Adam Schefter. Rosenhaus wrote in a letter that the NFLPA received on Thursday that he would like to work with Brown, but not until he first gets help. Earlier this week, the Hollywood, Florida Police Department announced that its athletic league has severed its ties with the wide receiver and returned a donation by Brown following an obscene outburst towards the police and mother of his children on Monday. Brown posted a live feed on the encounter, yada, 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 all that stuff. The police responded to a domestic disturbance at Brown's Hollywood residence on Monday. And Lotta wrote in the department statement that Brown used very degrading language in front of his young children. Brown, 31, wasn't on the active roster for most of whatever. I don't care about that. He's continued to take shots at the NFL. He's being investigated by the NFL. Yeah, all that stuff. So now is, look. It's easy to make fun of Drew Rosenhaus because there's a lot of things in his life that I could make fun of, to be honest with you. This one, it's a twisted thing for an agent because they've got to show a lot of restraint and they've got to back up their players because if other players see that you're just going to dump them for anything. Now, here's the thing. This isn't just anything at this point, right? It's kind of like the Hollywood Police Department, the PAL, is they waited till their exchange, their personal exchange with Antonio Brown. They needed Antonio Brown to call them, you know, punks and N-words and all kinds of crap in order for them to dump him. But the fact that he was being investigated for all kinds of other things wasn't good enough for them to dump him. That's where I would tell you, you know, listen, I'm as pro-police as it gets. But that part there with the PAL, come on, man. You might want to sever ties with people like that a lot faster. And for Drew, I mean, here's where I don't feel sorry for the guy. So many of his clients have been knuckleheads over the years. You choose to represent these idiots. So if you're the one that has to be there and watching T.O. do push-ups, well, then, dude, you chose to do this. You chose to. There are agents in this business that they see a guy and they, no, dude, I'm sorry. I'm not representing you. I know because I know them. Okay? I know agents that will not represent knuckleheads. They just don't want the headaches. And guess what? I don't blame them. I don't want to represent. I know I'm making money off the guy, but then I got to deal with the media, and then I got to go talk to the team and massage the head coach, and because he's screwing up here and there, and then I got to be kissing his ass and doing I just, you know what, man? I'd rather have a regular job than do that.
Drew Rosenhaus is a media whore.
Yeah, I know that.
And he loves when his guys screw up because then he's got to go get in front of the camera, kind of like Jerry.
Yeah.
And he lives for that crap.
Yeah, he probably does to a certain extent.
He enjoys, I got to deal with this thing and the cameras want me.
Yeah, but it's when it's an Antonio Brown, it's got to get to a point where it's just, you know, it's just.
Again,
baggage.
You just keep saying again.
So much, over and over. Look, man, we're all going to screw up. And, you know, we all need help to get out of a bad situation every once in a while. But we can't be constant screw-ups. Okay, we're humans. So we're going to make mistakes. Emotions are going to get the best of us. Whatever. It's going to happen. Okay? You aren't perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm going to screw up 8 times today. But these kind of screw-ups, come on, man.
He doesn't go more than 2 or 3 days without some
Yeah.
New catastrophe.
Or saying something stupid and doing something stupid on social media. You know?
Yeah, but remember, he was the number one downloaded athlete in 2019, and he said that this made him feel like Superman.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, because you're a train wreck, dude. That's why they're downloading you, not because of anything else. They want to see what the train wreck does next. You know? So there we go.
I got to get you a Craig Mish.
Yes, let's do that. Let's get Craig Mish on. MLB Insider, Fantasy Radio. You can catch him on Fantasy Radio, by the way, noon to 2. Okay? When we're not on and you're not listening to us. Now, we love Craig. He is awesome. You can support him any freaking
time. You're
absolutely
hilarious, bro.
He's awesome. We love Craig. He's fantastic. And remember, folks, to give us the thumbs up when you're watching on YouTube, okay? We love you for that. So give us the thumbs up and keep up this amazing support that you have given us here on the program and how it grows every single day, which I think we hit a new stratosphere now this week that we have never hit before. So that is that's pretty good, man. We appreciate it in a big-time way. We'll talk to Craig Mish now. We'll get into a lot of this cheating scandal. We'll get his thoughts on all of this because I'm sure this is something that's been a part of his world since he covers baseball so much. And you know, I think a lot of us don't really have a problem with what they're doing overall in baseball. We commend them. The question is, go after the players, man. Go after the players. That's what you need to do. That, at least for me, that's what they need to do. And we'll ask Craig that because he'll have more insight on it than I do, and he'll know the particulars. But I would imagine that the baseball players union is strong. It's a fearful union if you're the owners. It's like something that you have lost against several times. That's how strong the union is. It's not like football where the owners play games with the football union. Like they smoke them almost every single time. Basketball basketball is probably the one sport that there's kind of a good equal give and take between both. Because basketball is the one sport where I feel like they kind of work together. They kind of have an agenda of, hey, let's do what's best for everybody because then we all benefit. You know, that kind of – you almost feel like there's a better partnership in that sport compared to any of the other ones. And baseball, it's almost like the players union has a stranglehold on what goes on there. Really is amazing. 786-322-1105. That's 786-322-1105. We doing all right? What's the deal?
Can't get him to answer, sir.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, we'll see if we can get him on.
Yeah, it takes two to make a phone call, you know, unless you're a little bit like AB and you're like talking to yourself.
Okay. All right, we'll get the Mishmeister on, and we'll talk a little baseball in just a second, and we'll have a little fun with Craig on this whole Cora story and Beltran and the Astros, AJ Hinch, all that. I mean, three managers already. It's a lot, and that's 10% of your league you just fired. And now you got to replace, says the call again. So you'll be fine. I mean, that's a crazy part. Big old Ty from the Bronx, tell Craig Mish I said hello. Okay. And would you trade a pick for Odell? No, I would not. I wouldn't trade for Odell at all. I wouldn't want him on my football team at all.
Even if they just – here, would you please take him off our hands?
You don't have
to give us anything.
Don't want him. I don't think Flores would want a guy like that.
No.
Just watch Flores. Does he look like the kind of guy that's going to tolerate that guy? There's no way.
That military guy would kill him.
No, dude, there's no way. No way. I don't want Odell at all on my team. I wasn't a T.O. I don't care about the Stats don't mean anything to me. Are you a team player? Are you a winner? Are you going to do what your team needs to win? Are you going to sacrifice for them and help them? Or are you just on your agenda? And that's what that guy is. All right, let's go with Craig Mish now. MLB insider. He breaks all kinds of stories. He's a must-follow on Twitter, so you can get those breaking stories right away. At Craig Mish. You can listen to him every day, noon to 2, at Fantasy Radio, FNTSY Radio. And he is now joining us here on the program. Mr. Mish, how are you doing, sir?
How are you, Orlando? What's going on?
I am loving life, my brother. I am one thing I'm not doing is stealing signs. That's the one thing I can tell you. Your thoughts on this entire scandal and how it's taken down now 3 managers in baseball. 10% of the managers have been fired in the league now.
Yeah, it's taken on a life of its own, and just when you think that it could be over, something else happens. And so I'm guessing that probably more could even come of this. We'll have to see what happens when the commissioner's investigation of the Red Sox is completed. But he is a black eye for the game. No doubt about that, Orlando. At this point, you have to hope, that, especially from a digital perspective, that they're able to put a stop to this forever. Because inside the lines, as we know, this is nothing new. Guys have been stealing signs and trying to get an edge.
Right.
That's part of it, but it's like it really took on another level of attempting. We'll have to see, but as you said, you ain't guilty unless you get caught.
Miss, you went garbled there. Are you all right? You're in a bad spot there where your phone's sounding kind of weird there. Say it again.
Sorry about that. Basically, what I was saying was you're not guilty unless you get caught, and in this case, it looks like that would happen.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Now, let me ask you something, because you're going to know about this more than I do. They're going after the managers. They've gone after the executive. Why aren't they going after the players? Is it that the owners are a little nervous and their lawyers because of the players' union being so strong? Evidence? What is it? What? Because I kind of feel I don't mind any of these guys getting fired or banned. They deserve it. But I don't like the fact that players are getting away with this. So what's next for baseball? How do they make the players pay for this?
I don't know that there's going to be a way because of the strong players union, and there really isn't any precedent for this. So in general, it looks like because there were no rules put in place, that commissioner can only punish
Mish, your phone is breaking up. It's kind of getting garbled. I don't know why. Let's do this a second. Hey, Bill, let's reconnect. Let's reconnect with Craig again. Hang up and try to get him again because it's sounding garbled right now. And let's see, because I want people to understand this is a big story, man. So let's get Craig Mish back. Let's see if we could get a better connection. Cell phones, man, that's how it is. It's not a perfection type of thing. So we will try to get Craig on because I want you to hear him because he's always got great insight. He's going to know the game and all the insights about it and the rules and all that better than you and I because he lives this. He follows it every single day. And obviously this is a story that's a huge negative on baseball. And not just a black eye, but this is something where the integrity of the game is now being questioned. And maybe some of the history now, too, will be questioned. So that's why I wanted to get into with Craig and find out more about it on the player side. And why is it that we're not seeing any action against the players? So, Craig, I think we got you again. Let's see. And are you there, Craig?
Yeah, I'm here. I was in a bad spot area, probably. Sorry about that.
Okay, you sound much better now. Okay, so explain to us. Why is it we don't see them going after the players? And what kind of power does the players' union have that the owners are maybe, I don't know, nervous about that they can't enforce?
Well, you know, everything is done in collective bargaining, and so the commissioner doesn't have unilateral approval of anything. He has to go through this with the players, and everything has to go through the players' union. So in this particular case, it looked like a couple of years ago, after they had the issue with the Boston Red Sox, And rumor of the Apple Watch, that the commissioner came down and said that in the future, if anybody ever does this, I am going to levy punishment against the leaders of the team, which were the manager and the general manager. So I don't know that he has any power beyond this. Now, that may change. The players' union could get involved with the commissioner and say, hey, look, we want to help you out, and we want to take care of player punishment as well. But to this point, that hasn't happened. Could that happen? Of course. Tony Clark could meet with the commissioner, Rob Manfred, and say, hey, look, we want to go through this player by player, find out who was doing this, suspend them too. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, but I don't think that Rob Manfred, Orlando, can just step in and just start suspending guys. That's why there are unions, and that's why they collective bargain over these things.
All right, so then somebody needs to hold the players' union's feet to the fire and say, so you guys are going to protect the cheaters? So just because they're part of your union, you're going to stain the game because of this? I would imagine that there has to be a part of the players' union that says, hey, guys, you know, this is a bad look for all of us, because you're basically protecting the cheaters and you're willing to stain the game for it. I find that disturbing at all levels.
Well, I mean, this is nothing different than what happened previously in the steroid era also.
That's right.
Those guys as well, and it took years and years for them to get these suspensions as high as they are now. So I don't really see this, in terms of suspension-wise, as any different. I mean, it's just basically, two conglomerates, the owners and the players. And it is, I would guess that, of course, at this point, the commissioner would want to have some sort of punishment for players. But since it wasn't collectively bargained, I don't see any way that it would happen. Eventually, they did increase the steroid suspensions from a month to 2 months to now 80 games, and you can't even play in the postseason. And that would be probably something that would have to happen also in order for this to go through. I think that inevitably this will change. But basically the way that I'm kind of understanding it is that Manfred, in his statement, I mean, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it kind of sounded like anything that you did in the past before right now, I ain't going to look into it. But if you do it again, we're going to punish you. And so certainly that's why you saw the suspensions for Jeff Luhnow, the suspensions for AJ Hinch, the upcoming one for Alex Cora. But in terms of players, it would definitely have to be the two sides getting together and decide that this is done.
Any chance they do anything with the championship?
No.
None? Nada?
No. Nope.
Impossible?
No.
Okay.
None.
Why?
Well, I mean, they had to play road games too. They had a great team. I'm sure that them doing some of these things definitely helped them in some way. But it's more or less the equivalent of taking home runs away from Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. It's just not something that baseball has historically done.
Right.
You could definitely understand how most people would think that that helped them win a World Series. But the Astros also had a historically good team. And again, played 81 road games as well. So would they have won the World Series had this not happened? I don't know the answer to that. Nobody knows the answer to that. So to go back and change history over something that we're not sure about is not going to be possible.
Craig Mish, of course, from Fantasy Baseball, FNTSY Radio. You can follow it on Twitter. You can follow him on Twitter at Craig Mish, of course, always breaking all kinds of MLB news. All right, so if they can't go after the title, if they're not going to go after the players, what's the next step here? What is baseball trying to do here now? Are they trying to find more pieces to all of this, or have they stopped?
That's the only way that I could see any kind of player punishment coming, is if they find things that we have not discussed yet. If there is hard evidence or pictures or something that would change what we've seen thus far, I would have to alter my opinion of what baseball can do, because then you're looking at a smoking gun at this point. All right now is you have his testimony. I will say that over the last hour or two, there's a couple of things percolating on some Twitter accounts that are potentially maybe leading to that. So we'll have to keep an eye on it again.
What's percolating? Give us, don't just tease us.
There's a couple of people that say that they have pictures. And again, I hate to indict something on some fake Twitter accounts, because you never know, but there are a couple of people alluding to the fact that there are pictures of some of the players using buzzers in their jerseys on the Houston Astros that they have pictures of. Now, again, there's the internet's a wild place and it could be completely false. So, you know, you can search and search the names. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus until I see that. So, you know, but I'm not going to certainly, you know, endorse anybody with unknown sources on Twitter or anything like that. I wouldn't want somebody doing that to me, but anybody who's listening can search that out and find it. If that ended up being true, then we have something completely new, and we would have to look into it, especially if MLB decides to investigate it. But beyond that, I think that teams are just going to be petrified of doing any kind of cheating in the future. So while this is a horrible situation, I think that baseball probably ends up better from this point forward.
And let me ask you something, and Craig Mish, of course, joining us. Craig, do you think any of these guys get a job again, or because of this stain, teams will stay away from this because they don't want to even bring the controversy into their building?
I think they all get jobs again. I think AJ Hinch immediately after his suspension is over will be a manager again in the big leagues. He's very well liked and very well respected and was a good manager. And I definitely think that he'll get another opportunity. Alex Cora is a little bit more dicey because it seems to be that he was more of the person that put this together and is also going to get a longer suspension, as it would appear. So if he gets a 2-year suspension, it's a little bit tougher on him. My guess is he gets an opportunity again. Carlos Beltran, it would take a very special spot for him to manage in the first place, which is why he took the Mets job. I always thought that was a little bit of an odd fit as it is, just because he's not the most, he doesn't speak as much as a lot of the managers do, and that's a big part of the job. And in terms of Jeff Luhnow, I know that everybody in Orlando has basically eviscerated him and said that he'll never get another job. And he's, internally, look how poorly things went in the clubhouse when one of their executives went out after the woman reporter. And I think that all of those things certainly are a factor and all of those things are true. But we live as prisoners in the moment, and we seem to forget what the future could look like. And although Jeff Luhnow may have the smallest percentage chance of returning to baseball in a year or two or three, you can't sit here and tell me, Orlando, that if the Detroit Tigers in 2 years from now are still losing 100 games and are going nowhere and want to rebuild their franchise and win a World Series, well, there's one GM that was out there that did it, that lost 4 years in a row, drafted players and signed players and built the best analytics department also in baseball at the time, and that's Jeff Luhnow. So it would not surprise me at all. Maybe not right away, but 2-3 years for him to resurface as well.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy stuff. And didn't the Astros also have another type of cheating scandal that they were tied to several years back with the scouting and all that stuff?
Yeah, it was the Cardinals, though.
The Cardinals, that's right.
It was the Cardinals that were caught cheating Astros.
On the Astros, yeah. That's what it was, exactly. Okay. All right, so how does the game's already kind of hurting as it is. It's been on a slide for a long time now. Does this make it worse in the public's eye and even for the people that were on the fringe and weren't watching or were kind of, you know, does this hurt baseball to try to build back up again? Because it's kind of what everybody's hoping, that they can get back to being, you know, what they used to be. But what do you think this does long term?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say at this point. I don't think that it'll ever become what used to be, which was called like America's game. Like, I don't ever think that it's going to, you know, pass up on the NFL or the NBA or anything like that. But Orlando, I have a young son. He's playing in Little League. There's a lot of people who are listening right now to your show. They have sons that play Little League and high school baseball, and they dream of being major leaguers. And so from a popularity standpoint, will baseball ever be what it was in the 60s and 70s and 80s in terms of popularity? Probably not. But I would tell you this, those franchises, Orlando, they're worth billions of dollars. Why are they worth billions of dollars? Because they're making billions of dollars. So wherever baseball is, it is not going away. That's all overrated. We'll never be as popular again, I don't think, as the NFL and obviously the NBA. But it's a solid third in a world where our kids are going to continue to play baseball. It will always have its popularity. And I just think it'll just constantly be the same. There will be that narrative, as you mentioned, that baseball's in trouble and baseball's going away. Well, you know, then why the Kansas City Royals being sold for billions of dollars, you know? I mean, if that was the case, it wouldn't be worth that. So I don't think there's any concern for that.
Follow him on Twitter at Craig Mish. Catch him on Fantasy Radio noon to two. Tell him what you do on Fantasy Radio, my brother.
Yeah, well, right now we're at the end of the NFL, so we're, you know, we talk about the playoffs, of course, but we really are starting to get ahead in the fantasy baseball season. And we had Lorenzo Cain on the show earlier this week. You can catch that on demand over on fantasysportsnetwork.com. You can listen live on iHeartRadio as well as tune in and wherever you hear podcasts, Stitcher, and everywhere else. It's an honor always to be on with you, Orlando. Thank you so much for having me.
You are the best, Craig. Thank you, my brother. Always appreciate
All right,
it.
Have a great day. Sorry for the phone issue there.
Oh, come on, bro. No problem. It's cell phones. It happens, my man. You be good, man. Thank you, as always.
There okay, you thank you.
You got it. Much love, as always, for Craig Mish. Thank you for joining us and giving us some insight on that. I just, when it comes to baseball, I mean, it's crazy, man. I wish the sport would bounce back a little stronger and people would be interested in it. I can do radio shows without talking baseball at all. Very few care about it. Just doesn't drive talk at all. It's got to be a controversial thing. George Richards is going to join us now. We're going to talk a little Panthers with George Richards, and we'll get him on now. And we'll talk about the Cats as they get ready for the Kings tonight. I got to ask him about Gerard Gallant. You know, here's a guy that's been covering hockey for a long, long time, okay? And he knows all the ins and outs on what's going on with these teams. So we'll talk about the Cats, and we'll talk. I got to ask him about Gerard Gallant, who, I mean, he took the Panthers to, I think points-wise, actually, was their best season. It's not their best season overall because they didn't get to the Stanley Cup Finals like they did in the mid-90s. But a great, great season, and then he ends up getting fired. Now he takes another team, goes all the way to the Stanley Cup, and now 2 years later he's fired. It's really, really weird. So tonight the Panthers will host the Kings at the BB&T Center with their 53 points. They're in the 10th spot of the conference. 7 o'clock faceoff at the BB&T Center. George Richards, he works for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at George Richards. And what do we got, nothing yet? All right, we're going to try to get in contact with George and see if we could get him on as we work on it. See if we can talk to him. So we'll see if we get in contact with George there and talk a little Panthers and talk a little Gallant, you know. And that the question really is, are the Panthers now, is there more justification to what happened? Right? Because clearly he wears out his welcome with a quickness. You know? Go ahead now. So, yeah, that's what I would tell you. There's something going on with that dude. Okay? It's not like it can't be a cakewalk dealing with him. Because this is now another franchise that gets rid of him after having success. I'm just saying, if I'm Panther ownership right now, I'm not feeling so bad about the whole situation. I got to tell you, parting ways. Look, in the end, they've got their own issues, and they've got to get through it now with talent and Q. They got to figure things out on their own. But this one, it's kind of interesting. Follow him on Twitter at George Richards. Catch his work at The Athletic. George, good afternoon, my friend. How are you doing?
Hey, Big O. What's going on, buddy?
Loving life, my man. So let me ask you, do the Florida Panthers ownership right now, is there any justification at this point? Are they feeling a little better? Are they telling people, you see, because Gerard Gallant takes them to a great season. I think points-wise it was their best ever, but obviously not better than the Stanley Cup year. Then he takes this team, the Knights, to the Stanley Cup. And here he is fired 2 years later. What's up, dude? Why is it that this guy can have success and also wear out his welcome with a quickness?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that whole mess was a mess. I mean, I actually don't think so. I mean, maybe they're like, well, you know, I don't know. But no, I mean, that was they're two completely different circumstances. I mean, the Vegas Golden Knights apparently saw Pete DeBoer on the open market, felt like he was the better coach for that team, and they better grab him before someone else does. At least that's the narrative that I've been hearing out of Vegas, was that they were worried that Pete DeBoer was going to go somewhere else. That wasn't the case here. They fired.
Gallant's a fraud? Is that what it is?
No, I don't think so. Gerard Gallant's not going to be out of work a long time at all. I mean, he was a runner up for the coach of the year here, and 6 months later he's fired for various reasons. Part of which was he wasn't allowed to coach his team, basically. And he argued with ownership about it and the management at that time, not necessarily ownership, but management. And I think in this case, you know, they've lost four in a row. The goals against are going up. They didn't, you know, they weren't getting off to a terrific start, and Vegas has to win. I mean, they've got, you know, yes, they're an expansion team, but they're also in a market that's about to get an NFL team for the first time, and they need to keep this train rolling. And then felt like, I assume they felt like, you know, we need to get, you know, a guy that's maybe been there, and that's Pete DeBoer's been to the Stanley Cup Finals a couple times, and just felt like he'd be a better fit. I mean, I'm not in Vegas, so I don't know. I'm just talking about, you know, what happened here with the Panthers, and I don't think anybody looks back at 2016-17 and what went on here then as any kind of high point.
That still sounds weird to you, what's going on in Vegas, right? Because
absolutely.
You're going to get rid of Gallant,
and
you think that Pete DeBoer is, oh, we can't lose out on Pete DeBoer. But this guy took you to the Stanley Cup Finals. I don't get it. So there has to be something else behind the scenes with Gallant, dude. There has to be something.
Maybe. I mean, I haven't heard, you know what? I really haven't heard anything negative on this side of things. I don't think the Florida, you know, in the years that have passed, I haven't heard any player, coach, or anybody in the front office badmouth Gerard Gallant. I mean, that was a decision that was made by past management, and that you know, and that management was kind of cleaned out not long after Gerard left. So, seems like a different situation to me. But you know, listen, coaches in the NHL get hired to be fired.
I know.
You don't see coaches stick around a whole lot. So. You know, that is part of the NHL culture. I mean, if you've got a coach that's been around for, I mean, look at John Tortorella is now like the third longest tenured coach in the NHL. I mean, he hasn't been there all that long. So, you know, that's just how the NHL works. I mean, some teams will have two coaches in a year. I mean, it's just one of those things. And this is one of those years where, you know, 6, 7, 8 coaches have been fired. And we haven't even hit the All-Star break yet.
Yeah, no, they change coaches like we change underwears. That I'm with you 1,000% on that one when it comes to the NHL. They're kind of crazy with that stuff. The other thing, obviously, Panthers back in action tonight against the Kings. Mm-hmm. All right, so you would be the coach if you could answer this question. But, dude, how does Q get consistency out of this team? How can he get them to play at a higher level on a night in and night out basis? Or are you at a point, since you're with this team all the time, this is what it is and they're not going to get any better?
I didn't understand any of that. I don't know if it's my phone or if it's you. I didn't understand any of that.
Okay.
What happened?
One more time. Go ahead.
Now I can hear you.
Okay, cool. When you look at this team, okay, what can Q do to get them to play more consistent at a higher level? Okay. Or are you at a point now that you've been around these guys long enough that they are what they are? They don't have it in them to take it to another level on a consistent basis. We know that they've done it for stretches, but not on a consistent basis. Your thoughts?
For sure. And I think that's one of the most frustrating things about this team has been the consistent inconsistency. But they've looked pretty good the last couple games out. Again, you know, we've just hit the midseason point with this team. There have been some stinkers in there. There's been some real exceptional games in there. I feel like this is a very talented team that maybe plays differently at different nights. And when they've got Chris Driger in there, they seem to play a different defensive style than they play in front of Bobrovsky. And maybe that's just a mental thing that, you know, that it happens with hockey teams. Sometimes you see the backup come in and you see a completely different team because they feel like they have to be that way. We're going to find out, right? I mean, you know, they've only won three straight games a handful of times this season. They're going for their third three-game winning streak of the year. That would be their longest of the year. That's not what we expected out of this team. We expected this team to win 5, 6, 7 games in a row and then lose and then come back and win some games, and it just hasn't happened for them. We've seen them lose, you know, 4 or 5 in a row, but we haven't seen them win. You put together a long winning streak, and, you know, you can't win 3 in a row until you win 2 in a row, you know, that old adage. So they're in the middle. They've won a couple here, and they, you know, they've got the LA Kings tonight. They've got Detroit on Saturday. They've got Minnesota, then Chicago. This team could go into the All-Star break on a pretty good run, and I think that's what they need. I think that's what they need to do. They've done that in the past. We've seen this team, you know, go into their break on a 5-game winning streak, and that could happen again here. The thing's going to be, how do they come out of it? Because that's going to be the stretch run. When these guys come back 1st of February with a trip to Montreal and Toronto, you know, it's going to be make or break time for this team. Now it's going to be a sprint. So get the wins when you can get them. Get, you know, beat the teams you should beat. And they're in a stretch right now where they've got very winnable games. And we're going to find out if this team can do it on a consistent basis.
How about Bob? Your thoughts on the way Bob has played overall?
I think he's been okay. I mean, the stats aren't any good. There's no doubt about it. But I've seen every game this team has played. I've seen how this team has played in front of him. He has made, at times, spectacular saves. And at times, he's let in some real bad ones. And that's just the nature of goaltending.
But George, they're not paying him to be okay.
He's got a $10 million contract, right? And you expect 94% save percentage. I know. And he knows that. So, listen, it's been an adjustment period for him. This is a completely different team in front of him than he's used to. And, again, we're past the midway point. Things have to change, and, you know, I think Bob has been his best in February and March, and he has carried his teams to the playoffs on his back. If he does that again, I don't think anybody will remember what his stats were, you know, in the middle of January.
Well, we played the soundbite a couple weeks ago. Dale Tallon was in the booth with Goldie, and I was just cheering, going crazy, because I loved what he had to say finally, because I've been saying it for a while now that – the rubber's hit the road already. You either crap or get off the pot. It's time to break this team up at the end of the year. If it's another weak ass year, even if they just get in the playoffs and get bounced in the first round, you need to take a hard, long look at this team. And Dale Tallon finally said, "Hey, if some of these guys don't step up, they won't be here." And I think that's what we're headed to, because I'm almost at the point, George, that I'm convinced these guys don't have it. They don't have dog in them. They can flash it every once in a while.
I don't know how I'm going to change your mind. I mean, after Dale says that, they go out and they score 5 goals in the second period. So
yeah, that don't mean anything to me.
And they get a blowout win.
They don't. That doesn't mean anything to me, because you got to do it, like we just said, on a consistent basis. Go on a run, bro. Play really good hockey for long stretches of time. Don't play good hockey for a short stretch, then bad hockey for a short stretch, good hockey for a short stretch, bad hockey. That's what they do. That's what they've been. And the goalie has been mediocre. You're paying him to be exceptional, and he's being – you said okay. Okay sucks. I don't want to hear okay from Bob. Bob needs to be exceptional. And what I loved that Tallon said is – bro, it's time for them to step up or get the hell out. And I think that's what this team needs. If they don't get it done, you agree? They need to shake it up in a big-time way.
And they probably will, but that is months and months. That's months away.
I know.
Like I said, we're still in January, man. They've got plenty of time to do exactly what they need to do. They do need a 5-6-7 game winning streak, and they're very capable of doing that. Whether they do so or not, we'll find out. And the repercussions if they don't, you know, we'll see what those are. And I do think that there is a lot of internal pressure on this team, because that's why they went out and they spent to the cap. That's why they went out and they got all these players, most of whom have lived up to their contracts. You know, and Bob was the thing. You listen, last year, all anybody said, if we had decent goaltending, we'd be a playoff team. And they went out and they got the best goaltender that was available. Overpaid for him, probably. Did they give him too many years? Sure. But that's what they decided was okay. They were fine with it. It's not my money. It's not your money. That's their money. That's what they decided to do. Now, what happens after this year, we're going to find out when it happens, because we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we could have this conversation in 1996 and, geez, this team just doesn't have anything. And then all of a sudden they're in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Right.
Hockey's crazy, man. Hockey is nuts. We're going to find out about this team as we go on in the next couple months and see exactly what they've got. And if it isn't up to par, I do believe you're right. I think we are going to see some changes in the offseason.
Okay, now here's the other problem I have with this, George. What we're asking them to do, they've already what have they played now? They have played 34, 45 games now. So you're telling me that after 45 games, we're expecting an attitude change, that all of a sudden they couldn't play like dogs all year. They're all of a sudden now going to be the junkyard dogs that we need night in and night out, that all of a sudden they're going to flip that switch and go from inconsistent to consistent. I have a problem believing that that can happen. You tell me.
I don't know. I mean, I don't, because they play a different style. I mean, I don't even know if there is a junkyard dog in the NHL anymore, because everybody plays 6-5 hockey now. So you're going to have a lot of games where goalies are going to give up 4 goals, and you're going to be fine with it because you scored 6 or 7. So,
But wait, George,
hockey does not fly in the playoffs.
But. Yeah, no, but George, yeah, I'm not talking about, like, you're literally taking the junkyard dog. I'm just saying that you bring it night in and night out, whether you had to shut somebody down or whether you had to outscore them 8-7. I don't care if it was a 1-0 game or 8-7. You adjusted and you won the game however you want it. What I mean is win more often, win more consistently. Like you talked about, 5-7 game winning streak, fine. Lose 1 or 2 and then get another 4-5 game winning. That's what I want to see from this team, so I can be convinced that when they walk into the playoffs, they have the kind of toughness that will get you through an entire series, because you're going to play the beautiful game where everything goes well, but you need to win that ugly game where everything went wrong, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, sure. Okay. What do you want me to say, man?
I know.
We got 40 games left, but yeah, we're going to find out if they can do it. I don't know.
All right.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I love your hot take, but I mean, until we see, so, you know, we. I don't know what you want me to say, bro.
Okay.
Yes, they need to win some games.
But we'll
see if they can.
That's what I'm asking you.
There will be changes. I mean.
No, but what I'm asking you is, you're around them. Do they have the DNA you feel to do it? Because I already feel
they've got
feel
guys on this team who have won. Now, here's the thing, Big O. They've got guys on this team who are still trying to figure this thing. The core guys, right, have been to the playoffs for a grand total of 6 games. So you've got guys that are trying to learn how to do exactly that on the fly, and they're getting to the point in their careers where it's, you know, put up or shut up. And we're going to find out if they've got that intestinal fortitude and are able to do it. But, you know, to say, can they, won't they? I don't know, because we're going to definitely find out in the coming weeks and months, and we'll see where it goes from there.
All right. Final question for George Richards from The Athletic. Here we go. Do you think there's any regrets in that front office right now on behalf of the ownership group and even Dale Tallon? While all these young cats, they're talented, do you think there's any regrets? I know that they were smart in paying them early because they got, you know, some breaks there on the salary. But you paid them without actually them being, you know, proving it, that they have it, that they can take you over the top. This young core that you sign to long-term contracts has not proven to be great. There are some individual things like Barkov and Trocheck and stuff like that. But as a team paying all these cats, it has not paid off for them. Do you think there's some regrets in that front office about paying all these guys ahead of time when they really had not proven jack?
Well, I guess I think there probably is a little bit. I think when you look at signing and the two you're looking at, you're not looking at Trocheck is making a comparable salary to what he should be. You're actually getting a huge bargain
with Barkov
in Huberto, because those two guys are getting paid, what, just under $6 million for their production. They're a steal. Especially when you look at what, you know, guys like Panarin and all those are making. So they're probably, you know, getting paid at about, you know, 50, 55 cents on the dollar. So you're stealing that. The two you're looking at is Mike Matheson and Aaron Ekblad getting those 8-year deals, 2 years in the league. And I know a lot of GMs around the league weren't real happy with the Panthers because that set a market, because other young defensemen were like, well, I've been in the league 2 years, 3 years. I want that. And then, you know, GMs have to say, well, that doesn't happen. Well, it did in Florida. So is there regret? I don't know. Aaron Ekblad is turning into one of the better defensemen around. And I'm not going to call him elite, but I think he's a pretty good 1-2 centerman. He is at a nice cap hit. When I say nice, I mean nice for him. But, you know, he is part of that team. He's a big part of that team. And I think Aaron Ekblad is fine. I mean, you know, you got to pay your top defenseman what you pay. Mike Matheson, maybe they jumped the gun a little bit, although at the time there were a lot of people saying Mike Matheson is better than Aaron Ekblad. And if you've already given Ekblad 8 years, you might as well lock this guy up too. And then that one hasn't worked out as well, although Matheson, when you take the contract out of consideration, has played pretty good lately. He's a good, smart, young defenseman with terrific skills. He can still grow into a top-end defenseman. I know it's tough to take that contract out of the conversation because right. That is a huge part of the conversation. But, maybe they did rush a little bit to give those guys the 8-year deals when they didn't have to.
Well, let's see if they can get a win tonight against the Kings at the BB&T Center, and this man will be covering it like he always does, an exceptional job of covering the Panthers for a long, long time. He is George Richards. Follow him on Twitter at George Richards. More importantly, catch his work at The Athletic and make sure you subscribe, because for like $4 a month, you get the entire country and all of your local teams. George, as always, you are a stud, my brother. Enjoy the Okie.
All right, my man. Be good, brother.
Be good, baby. There you go. The great George Richards, man. Good stuff there, as always. One more thing before we wrap it up here at Toyota of Hollywood that I want to talk about. Because there's been this, and I get it, because as Dolphin fans, we all want a quarterback. We're all dying for a Marino. And I was spoiled as a child because going as a child into my teens and into my young adulthood, I got spoiled because I had Greasy, Woodstock, and Marino, right? And so for 30-something years, I didn't worry about quarterbacks, right? It was something that even when they didn't have Marino or Greasy, they overcame it with Woodstock and a team that was able to accomplish something pretty sweet. Not win it all, but at least it was, you know, a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. But, and I get it. And Joe Burrow is that love affair now that a lot of you Dolph fans have. And, you know, people are writing now that, oh, they should have gotten the first round pick. They would have had Joe Burrow, even though Joe Burrow was never on their radar when they were talking about tanking at the beginning of the year. It was all tanking for Tua. Not that there was ever any tanking ever involved in all of this, but whatever the silliness that goes on. And I also get the silliness of the calls, sometimes the texts. And it's ridiculous when people think that you're going to be able to trade multiple picks to the Bengals and take Joe Burrow away from them when he's an Ohio kid and Cincinnati is in Ohio. And they need a quarterback in a desperate way. So I wanted to share a little story with you because the Bengals, who are on the clock now, have already put out some stuff. It says, he definitely checks a lot of boxes early on in the evaluation process. That's quarterback, coach, Alex Van Pelt of the Cincinnati Bengals. He obviously looks like a very intriguing guy. Okay? They don't know right now at the moment if he'll show up at Senior Bowl next week, which we're hoping that he does. But Callahan described the Heisman winner as advertised. He's got natural pocket pocket feel. He feels it, Callahan says. It seems like he never takes his eyes off the field. He extends the play really, really well. He's a lot faster than you might assume. When you see him running away from those SEC guys, he's got incredible upfield accuracy. The ball hardly ever hits the ground in a game, which is rare, and he just naturally puts the ball in places where those guys can make plays. Okay? He threw 60 touchdowns this year, 6 interceptions, and the Bengals, as you know, have noticed all of this since they had 18 touchdowns and 16 interceptions this year from their quarterbacks. We got a lot of similarities with their pass game. A lot of NFL offenses do, Callahan said of LSU. He ran a lot of elements of what they did in New Orleans, getting guys in space, getting people in matchups. You see a lot of pro passing concepts in their offense, and they did a really good job. But they are things that you see around the league. It's all things that fit very well with what we do and a lot of people do. There you go. So the Bengals are already bragging about him. Now, you could say, well, maybe they're selling him so somebody moves up to buy him. We'll see. Or maybe they want to sucker somebody like Dicka got suckered for Ricky Williams. I don't know. But I do know this. The Dolphins aren't getting him at number 5. The Bengals are not going to give up that pick and that player. Okay, not for 1, not for 2, not for 3 first rounders. And I got to tell you something. I think it would be incredibly stupid of the Dolphins to trade a house to move up 4 spots to take a guy that's a 1-year wonder, and you just don't know. Yeah, he looks great. It might RG3 looked great his first year in the NFL too. And then everything went awry. And he wasn't the guy ever again. It's not the first time. What's his name? Anderson from the Browns. That guy lit it up. Browns gave him a contract, and that's it. Matt Flynn played a couple of magical games in Green Bay. Seattle got suckered and gave him a big-ass contract and failed. It's happened many times over.
We saw it firsthand. Scott Mitchell.
Yes, Scott Mitchell. You know what I mean? So, and this is college where it's easier than the NFL. And I know he had the season of a lifetime. It was awesome, 60 touchdowns. It still doesn't guarantee you that. And if you're going to trade a house of picks, you want a guarantee. Are you going to do it for a 1-year wonder? It's also irresponsible for those of you even thinking that. Okay? I got to tell you something. Instead of trading all those picks, even though I'm not a fan of taking them at 5 because of the injury, I'd rather you take 2 at 5 and then go take another project quarterback in the 2nd and 3rd rounds. 1, not 2 in the second, 1 in the second, 1 in the third. I mean, 1 either in the 2nd or 3rd. That's what I would do. Okay, I'm not a fan of drafting Tua early because I don't think he's going to stay healthy. But if you take another quarterback because you got 14 picks, then I like it. I got no problem with it. I'm good. You take a Nate Stanley. You take the Princeton kid like Kevin Davidson that I like now. You know, something like that. Okay, guy you can work with. I understand. You get Jordan Love in the 2nd round. I understand. Now, Jordan also may be a first round. I got to watch him this week. That is one guy that I am really excited about watching at the Senior Bowl. It's going to be a lot of fun.
When do you pick Herbert?
I'm not taking Herbert.
No.
I mean, if you take him at 20-something, that pick, fine. I get it. He's got all the goods and all that stuff, and he looks the part. You want to take him, go ahead. But I wouldn't take him at 5.
No, no.
No, but some teams may.
Hey, that's why you want to do that? Because, look, my Bears traded a whole bunch to move one stinking spot, and look what they got.
For a one-year wonder.
And
for a one-year wonder.
Houston traded up to get Watson.
Yeah, but that's not a one-year wonder.
Patrick Mahomes went behind him.
Yeah.
And Pat
wasn't a one-year wonder. He was actually a project. It wasn't like, you know, there was still some question marks.
He sat the 1 year. Yeah. And
but Watson was a badass.
Right. Oh, well,
you were trading for a proven badass. You know what I'm saying? That's different.
Yeah. He had
that cat had the it quality. You know what I'm saying? Because
right.
I loved him coming out of school.
But you know what?
He was the one guy that you would look, and sometimes there were some passes that would go awry, but he has this quality about him, bro, that when the lights are on, he's just a stud, and you can't teach that. You cannot teach what Deshaun Watson has in him.
No.
Either have it or you don't, man.
Like that in college. But you look back a few years before that, Vince Young.
Yes.
Was a beast.
System. That was the thing. And you know what?
But a winner.
Yeah, no,
and
but
make plays.
Now in hindsight, if you look around the NFL, you should have done what they did with Lamar with Vince Young. You should have gone all out and build the offense. Make it the routes that he can throw. Don't make it complicated. All of that stuff that they're doing for Lamar. Lamar's not throwing the whole route tree or anything. He's only throwing a couple of routes. They're keeping it nice and simple.
Why would
they
make it difficult for him? The Wunderlich score was like zero, right?
I don't know what it was, but I know that the one thing for him is that he's not a guy that right now is a exceptional passer. He's not a guy that has that kind of understanding or effectiveness. So you don't want to put him in that position. That's what they did this year.
Oh, I was talking
as much
about
as possible.
I was not talking about Lamar. I was talking about Vince Young's.
Oh yeah, no, yeah,
score
yeah,
was
he
low.
Did. Yes, he had
and
a
like
terrible.
And like you said, making it difficult.
Yes.
Why would you do that to
no,
that
you
guy?
Can't do it with Vince.
Come on.
But nowadays with what the Ravens did, that would have been what you had to do with Vince Young in hindsight.
Okay.
But it takes balls to change your whole offense and do what that quarterback is limited to doing. Because make no mistake, okay? Lamar runs this offense because he is limited. He cannot be a real pocket passer. He cannot live in the pocket. He can't play Brady's game and Breeze's game. He can't play Russell Wilson. Cannot. Okay? So that's why you do this. That's what they could have done with Vince Young in hindsight. And who knows? Somebody will do it with another guy? Maybe. But I think if you do it, you have to understand you have limitations. And once they figure you out like they did with him, and you can't bail him out with the arm, you're toast.
His inability to get out, to have the luxury of getting outside the corner and keeping him in the pocket, destroyed that whole offense. Mm-hmm.
So
now, mind you, Ingram being hurt obviously is a pretty big hit, okay?
Yep.
But nonetheless, to shut down the guy that had 36 touchdowns and only 6 interceptions and make him look inept the way they did, yeah, man, you're limited, bud.
So closing it out, I got to tell you, for those of you that are thinking Burrow, just stop already with the silliness. The Bengals are in love with the guy. You're not going to get him. Stop wasting time. Stop doing the fantasy and the stupid hypotheticals that you guys like to play during the draft. It's just ridiculous. Let's play the reality game, and we'll be just fine. All right, we got to thank Lee Sterling, Tony Pauline, Craig Mish, George Richards, an outstanding lineup, all kinds of great stuff. Bill, as always, John, getting it done on the program. We thank, of course, Steve Ostrov and all the great people out here at Toyota of Hollywood, making it nice and easy for us to be out here every single Thursday, man. You guys be good out there. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll be at Craig's Inn, Acura, 9 to 11. And then Hialeah Park, 1 to 4. Loaded show for tomorrow. Be good out there.
Y'all have a good night.